America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on bbc.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
Hey, Chicago, I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is In the Loop. Coming up later on the pod, we'll give you a quick recap of the news of the day. But before we get to the conversation that you just clicked on, In the Loop executive producer Dan Tucker is here with me in studio. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Sasha.
So lots going on today's show and in our streets, right? Immigration enforcement just continues to ramp up.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big week. We had that last week, the raid in South Shore, and so many other different actions right across the city. Now, over the weekend, it only did seem to escalate a bit more.
Really
we had tear gas used on protesters in multiple locations at Broadview, the ICE processing facility in Broadview, also in Logan Square near a grocery store, and in Brighton Park. Now, the ICE officials and agents say that at certain points they felt they were boxed in or needed to, you know, disperse protesters. Mm-hmm. And this is why they were using tear gas. But, you know, that's a chemical irritant. And it got in a lot of people's eyes,
right.
Caused a lot of problems. We also had federal agents shoot a woman. Again, they said that she was the aggressor. And we will find out more about that as time goes on.
But just seeing that headline was completely wild. I don't know what what it did for you, Dan.
I mean, we had the fatal shooting a few weeks ago of
In Franklin Park.
And now here's another shooting with federal agents. And of course, the big news from over the weekend, we know now that President Trump has said federal troops, Illinois National Guardsmen, Texas National Guardsmen will mm-hmm. be coming to Chicago.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not just the activists and protesters out in the streets who are just speaking out against this. We're hearing from city and state leaders, too.
Yeah. Just this morning, Monday morning, Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul is suing the Trump administration, saying that, no, you cannot send these troops here. We saw something similar happening in Oregon recently.
Mm-hmm.
Those Oregon troops were not sent to Portland, but they did send California troops. So there's
right.
a lot of action here. Governor Pritzker is speaking out. And Mayor Brandon Johnson just held a press conference this morning, again, Monday morning, calling for ICE-free zones. This would be libraries, school parking lots, different public spaces around the city that he says in an executive order, ICE is not allowed in these spaces. Here's a little bit of what Mayor Johnson had to say this morning.
They are taking police resources that should be in our neighborhoods, serving Chicagoans, and diverting them to deal with the chaos that they are causing. We need ICE out of our city so that we can continue to focus on the strategies that have been working to drive violent crime down.
Now, this is just new information in the last couple of hours as we're recording here, and we don't exactly know how that would be enforced yet. But clearly, Democrats, political leaders in Illinois are stepping up and saying enough is enough. We cannot have even more federal presence in our area.
Wow. And you know who else is crying out about this? Members of the military, veterans.
Yeah.
So what stood out to you about our interview today?
I mean, one thing is the quick response. I mean, we booked these people on short notice on Monday morning, just knowing that, hey, this is an angle we need to get into. And
the
they were very eager. They were very eager to talk with us. The emotion in their voices really stood out to me. You could tell they were really reflecting on their own military service, the fact that they pledged to protect people, and now they see military troops on our own streets in Chicago, other U.S. cities.
Yes.
And then the final thing I would say is one thing you'll hear a little bit more about in the interview is one of the former military veterans saying, you know, you do have orders that come down from military brass, but you also have a duty to do the right thing. And he's actually calling on members of the Illinois National Guard to say, I'm not going to follow this order.
Yes.
I mean, he's also calling on Governor Pritzker to tell guardsmen, you do not need to follow this order. So we'll see if anything happens with that. But that is one message that you'll hear more about in our podcast episode.
Very powerful conversation. Thank you so much, Dan.
Yeah, thank you.
We talked with Jesse Rojo, who's chair of the Illinois Veterans for Change, and Aaron Hughes, who's an Illinois National Guard veteran and member of About Face, Veterans Against the War. Jesse, we expect Illinois and Texas National Guard troops to be deployed any day now. What is your reaction to the president sending the U.S. military to U.S. cities?
It's a mix of not being surprised, sadly, not being surprised, and also just feeling like this is not good enough. I mean, genuinely, there's just no reason to be sending the troops in this moment. Even if we're able to look past how there is federal legislation that makes it so that we cannot use the military as domestic law enforcement, even if we ignore that, you know, if we ignore the Constitution, if we ignore law and order, the fact is this is going to do nothing but make it so that there is more fear. There's more chaos. It's not what we need right now.
Mm. Aaron, as Jesse uses words like fear and chaos, what comes to mind? Do you agree?
I agree with Jesse about that. And, you know, for us at About Face, the most important message for us is speaking directly to these service members that are getting deployed. Many of them do not want to be deployed. They don't believe in these orders. It doesn't fall in line with why they signed up. And, you know, we're reaching out to them to let them know if they're questioning these orders, that they're not alone, that they have options and that they have rights. Mm. And we're trying to get out word about the GI Rights Hotline, that they can reach out to 1-877-447-4487 to learn about their rights. And also the Military Law Task Force. That's a legal network of lawyers ready to support service members that are questioning their orders. That's 619-463-2369. And we want service members to know, you know, our governor said these orders are illegal.
Yeah.
And according to the UN, it is every citizen's duty to refuse to help criminal government actions. That is from the Nuremberg trial, and it's from the Nuremberg judgment from the UN. And so we want these service members to know that they have options and that they have rights, and we want the state and all of our officials to support them in that and withdrawing their consent from these right. illegal, immoral, unjust orders.
Jesse, what are you hearing from other military veterans about troops being sent to places like Chicago and Portland and L.A.?
No different than what Aaron just described. A lot of them understand fully how immoral this is. They understand fully how much they do not want to do this. I've also been hearing that people are just scared to stand up and say anything. So truly to Aaron and About Face, good job for doing that work. It is very important work. Very happy to see y'all doing that.
Yeah. Jesse, anything feel different to you about this mobilization of troops compared to, say, 2020 when the governor sent National Guard troops to Chicago during the George Floyd protests?
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. It's different because it is more intentional this time. It's being fabricated because, I mean, let's be clear from the very beginning, this is a lie that was told before the election, that we would be focusing on violent criminals and deporting them, that we would be cracking down on that specifically. But that's not what is happening. Since the Trump administration began, we've had something like 200,000 people detained, 65% of them have no criminal record. 93% have no violent criminal record. This is not about violent criminals. This is not even about illegal immigration. This is about trying to numb us as U.S. citizens to police or to military troops being in our street so that it's easier to crush our civil rights.
Mm. Aaron, we've been hearing two things from the president. One, that sending the troops in is necessary because Chicago's increasingly dangerous. But we know homicides are near a 60-year low here in the city. The second thing that we're hearing from the president is that this is to protect federal agents and property. What do you make of those arguments? And what do you think is actually motivating this?
You know, I think fundamentally it's flawed, just fundamentally. You know, when I was in the military, the first thing you learn in basic training is how to kill people. That's what you learn. You learn how to take down targets. You learn how to dominate situations. And none of that is about making anybody safer anywhere. It's about, you know, domination. And what I've seen from my own experience, you know, in my deployment to Kuwait and Iraq, is that these things don't ever work. It doesn't, you know, if we just look at the last 50 years of our military adventurism, you know, it doesn't work. It hasn't, you know, these grand political visions of political elites have completely failed. And what the ramifications, not only for all the citizens that are impacted of all these countries and also here, but also the veterans. You know, this is something that we live with for the rest of our lives. And to me, that's the most disgusting thing, is that this president, you know, thinks that they can just willy-nilly, you know, tokenize and utilize veterans for their political pawns. Mm. And we're not going to stand for that. And that's why we want service members and veterans to know that they have rights and that they have options. And in many cases, they have a duty to refuse illegal orders. That is a duty. So you have a right and also a duty. And, you know, it's important to note that, like, under the, rules of engagement, like saying you're following orders, that's not a defense.
So you say they have a right and a duty. So they have a choice, the troops, is what you're saying. They don't have to do this.
That's right. And I'm also want our governor to speak to the troops, let them know, like, he is the commander in chief of the Illinois National Guard. And according to the doctrine of command, if you're given an illegal order, your job is to not follow it. And he needs to tell these service members to not comply, to not report, and that the state will support him, will support these service members. Because it's one thing for a state to sue, you know, like out in California, the state has sued. But what about these service members that are stuck in between? You know, many of them come from the same communities that are being targeted right now. Mm-hmm. We know that counterinsurgency strategies depend on recruiting and targeting the same communities. And so for us to break that cycle of violence, we're asking people to let these individuals know that they don't have to comply with these illegal, immoral, unjust orders, and that they have options and rights. And that's, like, that's fundamental, that just because you're a service member doesn't mean you give up your rights.
Right.
And that they need to know that.
Yeah, so last week, during the gathering of generals in Virginia, here's what Trump suggested.
We should use some of these dangerous cities as training grounds for our military, National Guard, but military, because we're going into Chicago very soon. That's a big city with an incompetent governor, stupid governor.
So, Jesse, keeping in mind what Aaron just talked about, just really drilling in on the rights of these troops, Trump is on the same hand saying, you know, American cities are being used as training grounds now. I mean, why would that be necessary? Are there things that the troops could learn?
No, I mean, seriously, if we just had Hegseth say we have to be prepared for war, invading our own cities is not preparing for war. It's wasting time. And what's even worse is crime is an issue. Let's be clear. The statistics are good. We are at, well, I think you said 60-year low when it comes to crime in Chicago. That's fantastic, but it's not good enough. There's still too much crime. There's still too much fear in our communities. But sending in troops is not the answer. It is.
What are the dangers of this, Jesse?
Yeah, no, the dangers is, one, you're going to continue to make it so that people are scared in their own neighborhoods. Call me wild, but I think seeing a American troop walking down your own community is not exactly making you feel safe. And two, it's wasted money and wasted opportunity. If we wanted to address crime, we would have to address the root cause of crime. We'd have to look at things like early child education and things of that nature. This, again, is just, it's not about addressing crime. It's not about addressing immigration. It's nothing more than a distraction in order to, again, numb us from having our civil liberties crushed. And it's just tragic.
You've been out protesting and you've been speaking up in a similar fashion at the ICE processing facility in Broadview. Tell me more about your motivation, Jesse, to take a stand. And what is it that you feel like you're standing up against?
Yeah, of course. For me, and let me be clear, I'm not somebody who believes that there are absolute rights and absolute wrongs in our politics that often. I don't believe in blind partisanship. Me being a Democrat means I always have to defend Democrats, stuff like that. That's just not who I am. But what I do believe is that in this moment right now, it is an absolute right and an absolute wrong. And the reason for that is, again, because what we are seeing, these mass deportation efforts led by masked ICE agents, is not about cracking down on violent criminals. Again, 93% of those who have been detained have no violent criminal conviction. Mm-hmm. This is not about cracking down on immigrants mooching off of us. I mean, literally, ICE is having to use IRS data in order to track down these taxpaying immigrants. It's not about any of that. And that's what makes it so tragic that he is, by he, I do mean President Trump, is using these political promises to make up this scenario where he is able to justify sending in troops into communities, able to justify wasting billions of dollars, able to justify having communities live in fear, able to justify having a ICE helicopter break into an apartment building at 3 a.m. in the morning. I mean, this is the type of stuff you read in history books. And it's just happening right now. And
happening right now, right before our eyes. Aaron, I want to touch on something that Jesse just brought up briefly. What do you make of the fact that many of these federal agents have been covering their faces? They're masked.
Well, it just highlights the immoral actions that they are taking part of, and the fact that they're not even willing to show their face. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really reflects the fear culture that the Trump administration and their politics promote. And, you know, one thing I learned as a service member is that we have to directly confront fear. And this kind of fear mongering has to stop. And it stops by us doing exactly what Jesse and many of our members out there at Broadway, but also across the city, mobilizing and pushing back and resisting this attack and this, as the governor called it, you know, occupation of our city.
Right. Leave us with this, Aaron. You mentioned earlier about, you know, your fellow troops who, in a lot of cases, do not want this. They do not want to be deployed in cities like Chicago and L.A. and Portland. Tell us your message to them.
Well, again, you know, I want them to know that they're not alone. You know, they have options and they have rights. They can reach out to the GI Rights Hotline. They can reach out to the Military Law Task Force. They can reach out to About Face, Veterans Against the War. We have an encrypted communication tool. And that's fundamental, and also that they're not alone, and there's a history. You know, the last time, or one of the last times the federal government was deploying troops to Chicago was in 1968. And they're deploying troops from Fort Hood, and their black soldiers refused to deploy. They're called the Fort Hood 43. And they said, we're not going to go and repress the civil rights of our own communities. And that is something that we fundamentally just need to, these service members know that they don't want to be involved with that. And we, as a community of veterans and politicians, we have a responsibility to create space so they know they're not alone and that they will be supported if they withdraw their consent from these illegal, immoral, unjust orders.
We'll have to leave it there. That's Aaron Hughes with the Illinois National Guard and a member of About Face, Veterans Against the War. We've also been speaking with Jesse Rojo, who's chair of Illinois Veterans for Change. Thank you both so much. Okay, now let's get to the news of the day. I spoke with WBEZ Morning Edition anchor Claire Lane and WBEZ reporter and Weekend Edition anchor Michael Puente. Lots to get to, Claire. Starting with what I just alluded to there, the tensions, they just rose over the weekend when it comes to immigration enforcement. We saw federal agents using chemical irritants like tear gas on the southwest side and the northwest side. An alderman was briefly detained. This is while she was trying to peacefully advocate for someone that ICE was arresting at the time. Also hearing about an incident, I think yesterday, where federal agents shot a woman in Brighton Park. I saw some activity while I was out. I mean, what is going on here, Claire?
We should just note there has been no break.
No break.
In this.
So much increased police presence,
going
federal
on
agents.
30 days, more heated protests on Friday outside of the ICE facility in suburban Broadview. As you mentioned, protests broke out on Saturday after U.S. Border Patrol shot a woman on Chicago's southwest side. That woman is in fair condition.
Okay.
And prosecutors filed federal assault charges against the woman who they shot, allegedly, and another man. They say that these two people rammed their cars into a vehicle that was full of federal agents, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that the woman drove toward an officer before being shot. But earlier in that day, the Department of Homeland Security claimed the woman was shot after 10 cars rammed into the feds' vehicle. Protests followed the shooting, as we know.
Yeah.
And then another federal vehicle was also rammed. That's according to DHS in a statement, noting that several officers were injured during the day, none seriously. So again, a lot of very serious
yes.
accusations, allegations being made, and a lot of conflicting evidence to support that.
I'm just marveled at how things just ramp up over the weekends, right? We're here on Friday, we know one thing, and then by the time we come back on Monday, it's been chaos. Mike, speaking of chaos, President Trump is saying troops are coming to Chicago. Been a lot of back and forth here. Now it sounds like it's really happening. What do we know?
Well, right now, that's what he's saying. But we have Governor Pritzker saying he's trying to push back on that. We've already seen where a judge has denied that same sending of federal troops to Portland. So perhaps they may want to recreate that lawsuit here to try to get something. But yes, they are coming. And I'm wondering, still wondering, like, why? What are they going to do?
Yeah.
It feels like it's adding flames to the fire already. Where is this all going? I mean, they're saying it's to protect the community or government assets, the ICE facility, but it's just going to continue to raise tensions. We have to understand, they're going into neighborhoods now.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yes.
summertime. Kids are out there, and they're causing disruption. So if you're in your neighborhood, you're going to be there to try to protect it. And that's exactly what happened in Brighton Park this weekend. And to what avail? I'm not exactly sure where this is heading, but
yeah.
that's where it's at now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Illinois lawmakers are rallying around residents of the South Shore apartment building that was raided last week. This was as part of Operation Midway Blitz. Claire, the latest on that?
Right. So a raid last week, and it was an apartment complex that was raided nearly in its entirety,
mm-hmm.
knocking on doors in the middle of the night, pulling out children, pulling out women, families, due to what the Trump administration was calling a large-scale drug bust.
Okay.
But a very unsettling scene for folks there. And now Illinois lawmakers are rallying around all these residents in that South Shore building. Sun-Times is reporting U.S. Reps Jesus Chuy Garcia, Delia Ramirez,
mm-hmm.
and Robin Kelly, even Jonathan Jackson, standing with activists, putting boots on the ground as well, standing with residents yesterday, calling for an end to these raids and essentially an end to federal immigration
yeah.
enforcement in the area. Ramirez and other members of the U.S. House of Homeland Security and Judiciary Committees say they're working to identify more accountability, taking more steps. What legislative action can they take and possible
yeah.
litigation to essentially look into that
right.
raid specifically?
Yeah, this one really caught wind on the blogs, on social media nationally. Folks yeah. I know, family members across the country, in Canada even, were like, what is going on here? And sharing, believe it or not, the Sun-Times story about that South Shore raid. And Mike, you know, as Claire talked about there, kids were involved, right? And,
correct.
And there are questions right now about how the kids were actually treated. We know four of them were U.S. citizens that were detained, the children. We also know some kids were pulled naked from their apartment and put into
right.
rented moving trucks.
They're saying some of them were zip tied and held in a van for hours. How do you treat your children, citizens who are, you're quote unquote, trying to make safer?
Yeah.
That's the disconnect here. They're saying they're going
sense.
Into the city because, according to President Trump, Chicago's a war zone. Well, what's happening in reality, it's not matching. And he's saying these things about Chicago, Portland, Memphis, New York, that they have to go into these places because these are war zones. And the reality isn't matching that rhetoric.
Yeah.
But here comes the troops, and here comes the treatment of the very people that you're trying to help. So there's a disconnect there.
Yeah. And just to shift to other news here, Claire, I know there's a new study on long COVID in children. Tell us what you learned about that and any other news that you're watching.
You bet. So a new study has found that the risk of long COVID in kids is actually doubling after they experience a reinfection. So if they've gotten COVID more than once. The results from this study differ from many perceptions, popular perceptions, that COVID in kids is actually quite mild and that reinfections don't carry the same risk that initial infections do. And so the study basically found that that's not quite the case from Lurie Children's Hospital, their infectious disease division. And since there's currently no cure, as many of us know, I know you've done this and you're showing the lube, long COVID, there's no cure. So doctors, all we can really do is just manage symptoms, which they find increasingly difficult with kids and teens, because having long COVID really disturbs sort of everything they do. No extracurriculars and no activities. So something that they're going to continue to study.
You are right about that, where a lot of people just think, oh, it's mild when it comes to kids.
Oh, we've had it before. We'll
not
get
always
over
the
it.
Case. Anything else on your radar?
Cubs game,
of course.
Tonight in Milwaukee. Okay. We'll see what happens.
Are they going to win this time?
We don't know.
All right.
It was a 9-3 loss over the weekend. We'll see if Shota Imanaga can get it done for the Cubs. 8:08 first pitch. A little late.
Yeah. A little late, but you'll be awake.
Will I?
You know, Mike, as we talk here, you know, immigration enforcement is continuing, right? It's still happening out on our city streets. We're hearing hundreds of National Guard troops now are going to be deployed any day now, and that they could be here for up to 60 days. So what's top of mind for you as this just continues to develop?
Top of mind for me is, where is this all leading to and what else could happen? It just, when I was out there over the weekend in Brighton Park covering some of the turmoil, and it just takes a little spark or nothing for the troops to deploy tear gas, pepper spray, and it gets in the air. People are being impacted. People who have nothing to do with two or three blocks away are being impacted by this. Where's the end game here? You have two parties.
Is there an end game?
Well, you got the Democrats, your Republicans fighting. And now you have the courts involved. Someone's going to have to step up and say, wait a second here. What's going on? Is this the right move? Even if you want to help Chicago alleviate crime, is this the best way to do it? Right now, it doesn't seem that.
This episode of In the Loop was produced by me, Dan Tucker, and edited by Ethan Schwab. Sasha Ann Simons is our host. For more in-depth coverage of news and culture in Chicago, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. For a full archive of the show, head over to wbez.org/in the loop. And thanks for listening.